seated, please. Court is ready to hear argument in 060873 Canyon Regional Water Authority versus Guadalupe Blanco River Authority.
Court, Mr. Coleman will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Good morning, and may it please the court. The Court of Appeals decision in this case seriously misapplied this court's Sabine precedent and stands legislative priorities on their head by using a regulation designed solely to protect water intakes from disruptive recreational uses to prevent the construction of a water intake simply because it might have some effect on a recreational use. It's exactly backwards. GBRA has never alleged or argued that Canyon's new intake even minimally affects any actual public use of Lake Dunlap. And the court cannot properly rely on the regulation I'm talking about, which is section 290.41E2C, to find a practical destruction under Sabine. But even if it could potentially do that, GBRA never presented any evidence of any actual infringement of the recreational use of Lake Dunlap, nor could it even show that a marginally larger restrictive zone, if it in fact is being enforced, would practically destroy the recreational use of Lake Dunlap.
As a mathematical point, how much of the lake would actually be affected by the new easement?
Well, our argument, Your Honor, is that it's clearly about 0.25%. GBRA has argued that it's about twice that, but what their calculation forgets.
1/4 of 1%?
1/4 of 1%. But even under their calculation, which leaves off the pre-existing 200-foot restrictive zone for the dam, it would be 1/2 of 1%. So that's the only dispute. We think we're right about it, but it's 1/4 of 1%. Down at the bottom of the dam, we included this little diagram in the back of our brief, and really the only tension is their argument is if you put your boat in and water ski 5 or 6 miles down this lake, that this tiny little blip at the bottom, the last 25 yards before you reach the dam, that somehow your recreational use of this lake has been destroyed because you have to turn around 25 yards earlier than you might otherwise have had to do. And I do remind the court, they never proved that any boater actually does have to turn around 25 yards earlier at all. That's not proved in the record. But even if the court were to assume that, their argument on practical destruction is that this tiny, tiny, de minimis effect on recreational use of the lake as a matter of law satisfies practical destruction. And that's not true, and no case has ever held that to be so. To get there, GBRA makes this argument that you don't look at the lake, you just look at this little partial arc, circle, whatever it is, and you look only at that use, and you look only at one public use. And so within that affected area, because it will have an effect on recreational use, you should find that practical destruction exists. If that is the right analysis, and it's not, practical destruction means nothing in the Sabine Court's paramount importance case or under that analysis, because there will always be practical destruction of some small portion of land or some use related to either a condemnation or of actual land or of an easement. And I would point the court, of course, to our hydrant example that we give in our reply brief, that you could have a huge public park and you condemn 10 square feet for a hydrant, and then the owner of the park points at the 10 square feet and say, well, we can't use that 10 feet anymore for park, even though, you know, we still have a 1,000-acre park. You will always have practical destruction of some tiny percentage. And that's not what Sabine does. And that's not what any of the cases that follow it do. That's not what Swearingen or Willacy County or any of those courts have done. What they say is this existing public use is entirely inconsistent with the new proposed use, that you can't have the two exist at the same time. And we believe that you can in this case.
This project has been completed, and what's the effect of that on the kind of relief that is requested in the case?
Well, we certainly think it does make a big difference. There are some cases. I'm not sure I would say that they've entirely waived all of their arguments because they failed to appeal the denial of their temporary injunction. But this intake had been constructed and had been in operation for approximately 6 months before they even moved for summary judgment. Surely at that point they could have brought in some evidence about some real effect rather than saying, look at the words of the regulation and just presuppose an effect. The affidavits that they put in do absolutely nothing of the kind. They simply say, we think this regulation will have this effect. And as we've argued again, these affidavit statements about access to the dam and about impact on recreational use are simply legal conclusions. They're not factual statements about what is actually happening there.
Well, I guess my question is, so Canyon loses, what happens?
It's unclear, Your Honor.
Take it apart.
Well, they're saying now in their response brief that that's not what they're arguing. We have always believed that, in fact, that is what they're arguing, that they would want us to take it apart and put it somewhere where they would prefer to have it. The issue here is not whether we get to have an intake. I mean, we bought from them an additional 10 million gallons of water a day. They have always conceded that we have a right to have an additional intake in the lake to take that water out because we can't get it any other way. Their argument is that they should get to decide where it goes and that they are the keeper of our statutory obligation under the utility code, not only to make sure we have an uninterruptible source of water, which the prior intake didn't guarantee, and to ensure under the water code that it is the highest possible quality. And at pages 247 and 248 of the clerk's record, we think that the correspondence there shows that the place we chose to put it was the place where the engineers believed would ensure that it was uninterruptible, would ensure the best quality water, would ensure that it wasn't too close to the dam, and would ensure that it didn't interfere with the existing intake. What they say is, we get to decide where you put it. We don't really care about your statutory obligations to ensure the best quality water. We want to make sure that skiers get that last 25 yards of skiing in, and we're not worried about the fact that, you know, tens of thousands of Texans might have, you know, some green algae in their water, okay? But our obligation is to ensure the best quality water, and we believe the record reflects that we chose the place that is within the existing restricted zone for the dam to ensure not only that it's uninterruptible, but that it is the best quality of water. And we believe that we have a right, if GBRA is unwilling to allow us to put that intake there, which they agree we're allowed to an intake, that we then have no choice with respect to either arguing the existing easement or to go ahead and condemn an additional easement to make sure that that water that we've already purchased is of the highest quality.
The Court of Appeals pointed to Mr. Blumberg's statement that, quote, new restricted area would obstruct GBRA's access to critical portions of the dam. Address that, if you would.
I would be glad to, Justice Heck. That's a false legal conclusion. There has been no evidence that GBRA has chosen to forego maintenance of their dam when they moved for summary judgment. There was no evidence that they put in saying that they hadn't. The statute and the regulation that they rely on doesn't say that. What the regulation says is don't use it for recreational use and you can't have trespassers. Well, their maintenance of the dam, as fun as it may be, is not recreational use, and they own the fee simple. They're not trespassers. There's no legal argument that they can't, and there's no evidence that they've ever said, you know, we need an injunction. We've got to be able to maintain our dam. There was no evidence, And they could have, because the summary judgment hearing wasn't until 6 or 7 months after our intake had been completed, when their argument is that we've been trespassing or something. But there's no legal support for that, Your Honor. We hope that we can bypass that argument. It really is not supported at all in the record. Just as we believe that the recreational use argument is unsupported, there simply isn't any evidence to suggest that any boats have had trouble turning around. As I mentioned earlier, there's no evidence to suggest that any boats have had to turn around any sooner or earlier than they ever had to before we constructed the new intake. There's simply a legal conclusion that based on the text of the regulation, they would have to, and a legal conclusion that turning around earlier might be harmful to boats. And there's no basis for that whatsoever. We don't think the court should be distracted by these arguments. The core issue here that has been presented, we've submitted a summary judgment on condemnation. They never contested the core allegations about condemnation. They came back with a summary judgment that raised paramount purpose, but the only evidence that they even submitted, putting aside whether they even argued that they had shown a practical destruction, are these two statements really in Mr. Bloomberg's affidavit. Neither one of them supports the allegation, and both of them are directed at an improper application of the Sabine standard. There simply is no way to say, I'm going to look at this, you know, tiny little corner of Lake Dunlap and opine from that recreational use on this lake has been destroyed. There's no evidence that anybody, you know, has been sitting in their driveway saying, let's go skiing, but let's not go to Lake Dunlap because recreational use there has been destroyed. We've got to go somewhere else, but because you can't ski.
Where your client put it, that's not the only possible place they can put it.
No.
And as I understand their argument, it's that, you know, you didn't consult with us, you just hauled off and did it, and if we agree with your conclusion, then that's what everybody will do. Rather than entities working together to work these things out, they'll just haul off and say, we can do it here because the Supreme Court says we says. What's your response on that?
I have two responses to that, Justice Brister. The first response is we didn't just haul off and do anything. We submitted plans to them in July of 2004. In August of 2004, they submitted a letter back to us saying that they had reviewed the plans and didn't see any problems with the placement of the intake. It was only a month and a half later that they changed their minds about that. The second point has to do with this idea of that we could put our intake somewhere else. The Sabine test does not require this least intrusive means analysis. That's not what Sabine says. It says that you can't effectuate this second public use or purpose through any other means, and everybody concedes that we could not get that extra 10 million gallons a day out without putting in a second intake. The first intake couldn't handle that type of capacity. They're using the student note that is cited in their brief to translate the Sabine test, which says you can't do it by other means, to being something like least restrictive means to suggest that we had to prove that we couldn't put it anywhere else. Well, with respect to an intake, that would be, you know, essentially an impossible standard. We have put in evidence and clearly show that where we put it is, we think, the best place to make sure it's uninterruptible and to make sure the quality of water is what it should be. If we put it shallower, it might be interruptible. If we put it shallower, our engineer said that the quality of water won't be as good. Could you put it there? Yes, but the quality of water would suffer. And that's not what the test requires. What the test requires is where we, in the exercise of our governmental authority, have chosen to put it, does it practically destroy their existing use? And the answer to that is no. It doesn't destroy that use. The Court of Appeals misapplied that standard. We believe that we are entitled to summary judgment. The district court correctly ruled here, and we would ask this court to reverse.
The court is ready to hear argument from the respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Blank will present argument for the respondent.
Good morning. I'd like to pick up first, Justice Brister, with your point and the response that you heard that we somehow changed our mind. And if you'll look, this letter appears twice in the record at 199 and 282. You'll find that what was submitted to GBRA and GBRA's response was simply looking at the impact on the dam. In other words, whether constructing this intake structure, where they'd elected to do so, would somehow cause some structural or operational issue with the dam itself. And you'll see at the conclusion of this letter, at this distance, there should not be any impact on the Dunlap spillway structure. So rather than a wide-ranging approval of where this structure, this intake, was going to go, rather you had an engineer at GBRA looking at this solely from the standpoint of whether it was going to harm the dam structure itself and saying, no, it would not. When the broader issue was considered by GBRA, and the records replete with the exchange of correspondence between the attorneys and otherwise between GBRA, GBRA had made clear 4 months before this construction began, and certainly prior to the time that the construction was finished, that they had an objection to where this intake structure was going to be located. And you'll see in the correspondence as well, from CRWA's engineer, acknowledgement of the fact that GBRA had received complaints from recreational users about how you turn around there near the dam and complaints that this was inhibiting the recreational use. In other words, the existing restrictive zone was a problem, much less including some new and oddly configured area as a result of what...
The whole area is pretty narrow, and it's a river.
That's correct.
So whether it's hard to turn around whichever part of the river you're on.
That's right. If you've spent an afternoon at the Hula Hut and seen users there, it's much the same situation. But if you narrow that considerably as is a result of CRWA putting its intake structure where it did, it makes it all the more difficult to turn around there.
Is it your contention that the intake structure should be removed and put somewhere else? Is that what you're asking for?
We are asking for this intake structure to be located elsewhere. Now, when I say that, I want to make clear that we also are stewards of this state's water resources. And while you see in the briefing by CRWA the claim that we somehow want to interrupt the water service to tens of thousands of people, that's certainly not the case. What ought to happen is some orderly process where this is moved to a new location that does not destroy the existing public use, as happened with the current location of the intake structure.
So you don't see it as a balancing between recreational use and public use?
No, we do not. And let me explain, if I might, a little bit about Sabine's operation, the test this court crafted in Sabine, and then how it applies specifically to the public use that we have here. And in Sabine, the court looked at the fact that where you have a public use, an existing public use, there's already social utility. There's already benefit to the public at large of that use.
And the use here is more than recreation. It's power generation and water supply and flood control and all sorts of things.
For the lake as a whole, Justice Hecht.
Yeah.
And let me explain. The regulation here affects only the surface area of the lake. As you point out, the lake as a whole can be used for other things. But the regulation itself affects only the surface area.
Right. So there's no contention here that the other uses of the lake are impacted at all.
In terms of hydroelectric power and things of that sort, that's never been our claim. But if you look at what the existing public use is of that surface area, you can't generate power from surface area sitting out in the middle of a lake. Rather, the power generation is done as the water flows through at the bottom of that dam. That's where you generate the power.
But they didn't build the lake for recreation. I mean, that was a nice side effect, but surely they were thinking of the power generation principally when they built it.
And the other uses and the other statutory charges of GBRA, Your Honor, but one of the statutory charges of GBRA is recreational use. And focusing now just on what that surface area is used for, it's not used for these other uses such as hydroelectric power, flood control, and things of that sort. It's only public use is recreation.
You think the practically destroyed element focuses in on the surface?
It does, because that's what the regulation impacts.
And then do we look at the surface of the zone or the surface of the whole lake?
What Sabine looked at, Your Honor, is simply the condemned land, the affected parcel. And in Sabine, you had two competing railroads. One wished to cross the other. And you had this yard that was to be used by one of the railroads, and crossing would mean that that affected part, that to-be-condemned part, could no longer be used for yard purposes. Now, the court in Sabine didn't look at the railroad as a whole, and likewise did not look at the yard as a whole. It simply looked at the affected property, the condemned property, and said where you have that existing public use, you can't divert it for another and different public use unless these two prongs are satisfied. First, that it's of paramount importance. In other words, the new use is more important than the existing use. And secondly, that you, the condemnor, have looked at alternative means for accomplishing this and have reasonably determined that there simply is no other way other than that which you have selected.
Practically destroyed means any portion of the property, assuming your opponent is correct, we're only talking about 25 yards, does that practically destroy recreational use on the lake? Or how do you define, how would you have the court define what that means?
We'd ask the court to define it just as have all the Texas courts that have looked at this issue in the context of railroads and highways and things of this sort. At no point has a Texas court looked at whether the whole highway is going to be practically destroyed.
Do we have any de minimis analysis anywhere?
None of these cases have addressed that, Your Honor, and suggested that there's some de minimis standard. Looking at highways, looking at railroads.
Is there some reason we shouldn't? I mean, the world's changed a little bit since 1898, and there's a few more people here in the state than there were back then, and people are starting to be inevitably stepping on each other's toes, and maybe we ought to say, well, you know, ask the ski boat people to turn around a little early. What's the harm in that?
The harm is the statistical look that we had here a moment ago where it's 0.25% or 0.5%. These things don't lend themselves to that sort of definition to capture what's a de minimis impact.
What do you say it is without a curious? What does GBRA's number crunching reveal in terms of the part of the surface area affected by the new intake?
The play between the two parties is between 0.5% and 0.25%. Now, because this is a small lake, we're talking about a small area. If you were to translate to that to some of the larger lakes in the state, that would affect, in other words, 0.25% or 0.5% could impact 50 acres or 90 acres. So when you resort to things like these percentages to try to capture whether you have some de minimis impact or not, it doesn't lend itself to capturing well enough that type of assessment.
So you don't think
under your
matters.
Argument it doesn't matter, but so how do you isolate the area to determine if it has an impact? I mean, is it just a few acres there? It's 20 acres? I mean, how far do you go on into the river to determine what the impact is?
Well, the impact is you look at the property to be condemned here, and we have the surface area.
Under that situation, you would always win, it seems to me. And that
how could you put it anywhere right. If that's your view?
Well, because there is existing in that area, as CRWA, as Canyon has pointed out in its papers, there is already an existing area that cannot be used near the dam. So what we asked Canyon, what we asked CRWA is locate your intake structure within the existing area that is already off limits to public use.
Because of the other intake or because of the dam structure?
Because of both. There's a certain distance from the dam.
But that's not possible, is it? Just looking at a map, looks like it has to extend out past the dam's restricted zone. It's not even 200 feet radius means a 400 foot circumference, and the distance out to the restricted zone from the dam is like 200 feet, isn't it, or something like that?
Well, there's a my math, I may get a little bit muddled here just a sec, but there is a restricted area that goes straight out from the dam.
Right. 200 feet, I think it is.
I believe that's the case. And likewise, there is a restricted area that extends from the existing intake structure,
right,
which also captures another arc. And the point of the engineers was you can fashion this in a way that locates this within the two zones that either eliminates altogether or certainly minimizes much more than was done by Canyon the amount of the recreational use that's impacted.
Well, and I can see how you could minimize it just by moving it 10 feet closer to the dam. But there would it would be very difficult, just from looking at the map, to have it anywhere that did not create an additional restricted zone of some size, which then gives rise to the question that Justices Medina and Willett were asking, which is, and then that use, that recreational use of that new zone is destroyed, so you win that way too.
No. Your Honor, if I might go back to Sabine and then address the particular point that you've made here. The point of Sabine is how do we best preserve the existing public use? And you need to look at these alternatives to minimize the disruption to the existing public use. And that was not done here. It might be, Justice Heck, that some small portion of this, inevitably, because of the best location for this, would have some impact. But what we submit is it would not be near the impact that we see for CRWA having not undertaken that analysis.
But there seems to be a conflict there because either we look at the rest of the lake or we don't. If we look at the rest of the lake, then a tenth of 1% is smaller than a quarter of 1%, is smaller than a half of 1%. But they're all small. If we don't look at the rest of the lake, it's 100%. I mean, the restriction applies to the whole restricted area.
Right. But looking at that then, Your Honor, if the case is that looking at all the different locations, it's impossible to locate this intake structure so as not to impact, that is, not to practically destroy the recreational use of some of the area, then the Sabine test allows that to proceed. But what we have in this record, Your Honor, is we have nothing that indicates, and this is, of course, the reason for the San Antonio Court of Appeals decision, on that second prong of the Sabine test, there was no indication, there was no evidence that Canyon or CRWA had undertaken this analysis to figure out where is it that we can locate this so that we can avoid this type of damage, this practical destruction of the existing public
use.
You
mentioned there were some anecdotal complaints from recreational users.
Yes.
Aside from those anecdotal complaints, is there any data showing the frequency or popularity of recreational use on the lake has waned or fallen off?
Actually, that is a matter of stipulation. The parties stipulated, and it's recited in our opening our brief and likewise in the summary judgment papers, that Lake Dunlop is indeed a popular recreational destination for boaters, skiers, fishermen, and the like.
But the effect of the new intake has been what?
The effect of the new intake is, as a matter of law, that area, which was not already encompassed within one of these restricted zones, is now no longer available for those stipulated
How many
uses.
Fewer boaters are now going to the lake? How many fewer jet skiers? How many fewer recreational users as a whole are going there because of the new intake?
Well, there is no statistical information in that regard. And in like manner, that looks at, once again, the lake as a whole as opposed to the area that is actually affected by the regulation. And that area is as a matter of law and no longer available for the existing public use.
Do you agree that the alternate intake point would mean that the water quality is less, or that's an interruptible source as opposed to where they located the intake?
We would not agree. There's some suggestion on Canyon's part that the existing intake location is not acceptable, but we do not subscribe to that and have known of no instance where the water quality or its availability has actually been compromised as a result of its location.
Well, the existing one that would be expanded, but they couldn't use that one. Is that correct?
No. Perhaps I'm misunderstanding. Yeah. There is a pre-existing intake structure that, pursuant to an easement back in the early 90s, was located there, again, with GBRA's permission, and has operated from that point even to now without any difficulty.
Is there evidence? We were talking just a moment ago about this 200 feet from the dam where there's already restricted access for recreational use. Is there evidence if the intake were located there, this alternate site, that it would produce water that was of lower quality, or that the source would be interruptible?
No, that's what I'm saying is the void in the record. In other words, Canyon, what should have been done here is an examination of can you locate this elsewhere in a manner that minimizes this? And they could have done so and come back and said, no, the hydrology studies show that we have a problem with algae, or that the height of it is such that we are concerned that in times of drought it might be an interrupted flow or something like that. The record has none of that. All the record reflects is this, according to Canyon, is a desirable location, not that other locations have been ruled out.
Who sets the 200-foot restricted zone?
It's set by the TCEQ, this regulation that...
What if they moved it out to 300 feet?
Then likewise, that would expand that much more.
You'd have the same complaint.
I'm sorry?
You'd have the same complaint.
Exactly. In other words, that surface area, because of the regulation, would no longer be available for public use.
And so, but it really boils down to the fact that ski boats can't turn, have to turn sooner than they would otherwise. Is that what it boils down to?
No. That area is no longer available for any of these recreational uses.
But, I mean, fishermen aren't going to care because...
Well, fishermen would care if they go to the spillway. I mean, the spillway is a good place to catch good fish if places fish because the water comes through. It's a little warmer there sometimes.
My experience with fishermen is much that way.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not restricting their ability to turn around because they don't... The ski boats are the ones that really need the extra room to turn.
Yes, if you're focusing on the use of the lake as a whole... In terms of it being impaired, it would be those people who have a more difficult time doing something. But if you're looking at what is the existing use actually of that area, it includes many more uses other than simply the skiers turning around.
Okay, but the adjoining landowners, they've not made complaints about this?
Actually, the letter in the record is from an adjoining landowner. Mr. Dittmar's complaints about this new area, and he is an adjoining landowner, are in the summary judgment record.
Is there anything about dam access that, besides the few words in Mr. Blumberg's statement?
Yes, Your Honor. On dam access, again, the main point here really is the recreational use. That's the main use of this area. But when Canyon moved for summary judgment and we looked at the relief that they were seeking, opaque as it was, it simply said, we want a 200-foot restricted area. And we looked at the request, we looked at the regulation, and if their aim was, as broad as they said in their condemnation claim, to exclude anybody from this 200-foot restricted area, then that likewise, on the face of the condemnation counterclaim,
but he says it's just recreational users and trespassers, and y'all wouldn't be either one of those.
Well, that's certainly the case, but the condemnation counterclaim didn't allow for any ingress or any egress by GBRA. It simply said, we want a 200-foot restricted area, which includes trespassing and recreational use. Now, certainly to the extent that they wanted to make clear that we weren't a trespasser, it was incumbent upon them to make clear that we would still have points of ingress and egress.
But if you look if the only restriction is the restriction imposed by the TCEQ regulation, then that would not affect dam access. Is that true or not?
Well, the regulation says no trespassing. So to the extent that they want to condemn, according to the regulation that says nobody, including GBRA, can use this, it would affect our access to the dam. So on the face of it, what they were seeking would affect our access to the dam.
But and if you're not a trespasser, it wouldn't affect it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Any further questions? Thank you. Kathy.
Thank you.
First things first, Justice Medina, that spillway would still be protected for fishing, so access to the dam, we were seeking only an easement. An easement is a non-possessory interest. There's just no way to read an easement for our intake to exclude trespassers. That is not an issue. With respect to a question that a number of justices asked about, how do you define this? One of the things is this August 12th letter that sent makes clear that they did have a requirement that we keep that intake at least 85 feet from the dam. There is no way that we could have designed an intake, even putting aside our statutory required interest in assuring an uninterruptible supply and the highest possible quality. There's no way we could have put an intake anywhere that wouldn't have created, at least hypothetically, an additional restricted zone. And again, GBRA talks as if recreational boaters have been prevented from going into this area, but there is, in fact, no evidence that anybody ever has been prevented from entering this area, that buoys were put out or that anything was put out to prevent boaters from coming in basically all the way to within 200 feet of the dam. Our intake is approximately 150 feet from the dam. Their requirement was that it be at least 85 feet from the dam. Our engineers believe it should be a little bit further out to ensure water quality, because the closer you get to the dam, the greater risk you have for siltation. A lot of sediment builds up as you get closer to the dam, and we wanted to keep away from that. What we hear a lot of is that we should have designed this to minimize any risk of harm to recreation. Our statutory requirements are that we secure an uninterruptible supply and the highest possible quality of water that we take in. And that's what we tried to do. We did put it down within that 200-foot restrictive area near the dam. We didn't go 300 or 400 feet out from the dam, somewhere out in the middle of the river where it really would have interrupted recreational use a lot more. It is very close to the dam, and in that sense, our planners and designers did attempt to minimize any effect on recreational use. Now, we're not. Yes, Justice.
Your restricted zone area, the 200-foot circle. What is there to enforce that zone outside the 200-foot TCEQ marker?
The record doesn't reflect, Your Honor. If you're asking the question, there is nothing other than the buoys that go across the 200-foot zone for the dam.
So there's nothing to enforce. The record doesn't show that there's anything to keep anybody out of your zone.
The record does not reflect. There's no evidence that's been put in the record to suggest there's anything to keep boaters any further than 200 feet from the dam.
But they're not supposed to be there.
The regulation that asks GBRA to create its own regulations, and exceptions are available. Again, there's been no evidence that the record does not reflect the effect of a request for an exception or how the TCEQ may have ruled. Again, and we believe that was GBRA's burden to come in and show that, in fact, there is some real restriction based on the effect of this regulation and not simply say, look at the words of the regulation, and of course nobody can come in here. There has to be evidence about how things are in fact, and this record contains no evidence of how things are in fact. And that's the point I was trying to make earlier. There is no way this intake could have been placed without, though at least creating the possibility of having this restrictive zone move outside that. But it is done at the end of the lake. Sabine does not say that you look only at the condemned property. When the property in Sabine was taken, it said you can no longer use the larger property as a yard and depot, but it wasn't the whole yard and depot that was taken. So there was a partial taking, and then they said, and you can no longer use the yard and depot essentially at all. Same is true in Snellen, where they said it's not in effect. Same is true in Willacy County and in Swearingen, which is the alley that was not completely taken over, but the alley itself was entirely destroyed. So we believe that Sabine and the progeny really support us, and we'd ask the court to reverse.
Any further questions? The cause is submitted, and that concludes arguments for today. The marshal will adjourn the court.
Yay, oh yay, oh yay. The Honorable the Supreme Court of Texas now stands adjourned.